At some point in your life, someone's going to call you a Campbellite. Now, I happen to believe that there are some Campbellites, but I trust that you're not among them. But I say that some churches of Christ are following things that they ought not, and they are following in the tradition of Alexander Campbell rather than of Jesus Christ. So about a month ago, we talked about the origin of the New Testament church in actually England, and a little bit about the United States as we talked about Martin W. Stone, a Presbyterian preacher, and how he and some other men determined that the Springfield Presbytery, which had its articles of organization, needed to have some articles of dissolution. They wanted to throw off the laws of men. At the same time, or about the same time in this country, both Thomas Campbell and Alexander, who were ordained Presbyterian ministers and who had come to this country in the early 1800s, were at the birth of Alexander's first child, a daughter, in 1812, they started to look to see exactly what the scriptures say about whether his daughter should be baptized. And they also wondered about whether the church should be able to find some not worthy partake of communion. And so as you think about this, the need for infant baptism, where did it come from? Well, it lays in the Catholic and Presbyterian idea of original sin. The necessity that Adam's sin be wiped away in baptism. And so as the Campbells began their study, there are a lot of folks who say, well, there were others who had gone before them. In fact, the Haldanes in Scotland and Ireland had established 85 churches as a result of their own, I guess, business acumen, which allowed them to accrue the money to engage in this business of going and preaching. They had taught baptism by immersion, weekly communion, and congregational autonomy, is the way I would put it. And as you think about that, you ask yourself, well, do the scriptures actually disagree with infant baptism? After all, the Roman Catholic Church teaches it. The Greek Orthodox Church teaches that they're wrong, that you should baptize that child completely immersed in the water, but they still baptize infants. But I want you to think with me about what the scriptures have to say about baptism. In Acts, the second chapter, at verse 38, and also the fact that a man's sins are his and his alone. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. And so there's a repentance that must be given. You realize that an infant can't do it. And in fact, Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20 says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The sins of the father shall not be upon the son, nor of the son upon the father. In Acts the 8th chapter, at verse 36, we find that in verse 35, which I didn't have room for on this slide, it says, beginning at this scripture, he preached unto him Jesus. The preaching of Jesus requires the preaching of baptism. So as they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. There are several things we can learn from that passage. One is, it's necessary that the one who receives baptism to be a believer. If they're not, it's not the baptism that Jesus required. It doesn't matter how many times you've been in the water. What matters is, were you baptized in the right manner for the right reason based upon your conviction? He believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. It says they stopped the chariot and they went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch. Both went down into the water. It wasn't some jug of water that they were taking along on the trip. Rather, they both got out of the chariot and they went down into the water. And so you understand that the Greek word actually means immersed. So the Greek Orthodox Church is correct in that baptism must be immersion. The Roman Catholics practice sprinkling, and it's simply not baptism. One of the things I'd like to point out that is important to us, an infant is never baptized in the Scripture. There are two cases that I have seen referred to by a book that I have, a discussion between a preacher and a priest. And he said, well, wait a minute. In Acts, the 16th chapter, we have the household of the Philippian jailer and the household of Stephanas. I would like to point out that in both cases, they believed. Now, if you're going to look at this and say, well, if they believed, can an infant believe? And the answer is no. In fact, it's a well-recognized fact. You start thinking about it yourself. You have no memory of things that happened before you have the speech that enables you to tell people about what happened. In other words, you can't even remember if you had faith because you couldn't pronounce the words as an infant. Campbell concluded that although his daughter did not need to be baptized, he did. Why was that? He found that baptism saves from sin, from 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. In Colossians chapter 2 and verses 11 and 12, it puts one into a covenant relationship with God and it makes one a child of God. So as we read those scriptures at 1 Peter 3 again, to those who were disobedient long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built, in it only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Christ. There are so many denominations. There are so many people in the world who have been led astray thinking that they have done what God commanded when they've only listened to what men had to say. Just as Alexander Campbell. I mean, the man was an ordained preacher in the Presbyterian Church. And yet he did not understand what the Scripture said until it came time to decide whether or not he should baptize his infant daughter. At Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse 11. In him you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. In the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all of our transgressions. I would point out to you that as you look at this passage, that it is the equivalent, if you go back to a few verses before, of what circumcision was under the old covenant. Under the law of Moses, anyone who had not been circumcised, on the eighth day, all males were to be circumcised, and if they were not, they could not come into the assembly. Just so, if one has not been baptized, they are not coming into the assembly. Galatians chapter 3, then, at verse 25. Now this faith has come. We are no longer under a guardian. As you think about the faith in Christ Jesus that it talks about, it says, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. Why? For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Until you are baptized, you have not been clothed with Christ. It doesn't matter what the world may say, what the Presbyterian or the Catholic Church may say, what matters is what the Scriptures say. What God has revealed to us. And so Campbell examined this idea of original sin. And he said, you know, as he looked at the Scriptures, he found that each man is going to be judged on the things that he has done. not on what others had done. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body. Every one of us is going to stand and answer unless we have the blood of Jesus Christ to wipe away our sins. Revelation chapter 20. I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. We're all going to be there, all of us at one time. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds. As you think about your lifetime, and you think about the doctrines that you might have been taught by men, have you ever compared them with the Word of God to see what God actually had to say? There are a lot of really nice people who sit there and say, well, I believe. And the question is, why? One of the things that troubled me so much as I grew up in the Church of our Lord is no one had ever told me about what are called Christian evidences so that I could explain why I believed that God created the heavens and the earth. But as I studied, I found out there was reason to believe. As you study the scriptures, you'll find out there is reason to believe that you're all going to stand and be judged on the things that you have done in the body. And if we don't pay attention to what's going on, we are going to be lost. There are so many people who can just sort of ignore the things that are going on. You know what the Campbells did? They found a Baptist minister, it turns out, Matthias Luce, who believed in baptism by immersion. And they said, we need to be baptized. He didn't understand why he was baptizing them, although he may have, because they taught about this. Campbell himself then allied himself with the Baptist Church until 1826. And at that point, he says, I labor to see sectarianism abolished, and all Christians of every name united upon one foundation upon which the Apostolic Church was founded. To bring Baptists and Pedobaptists to this is my supreme end. I want to end division among religious people. What is the standard if we're going to divide, if we look at the division, and we're going to try to cease that division? It has to be the Word of God. You can't have one man out here claiming, well, this is what we teach, and another man saying, this is what we teach, unless they're teaching what they teach and not what the Bible teaches. And so he and his father came up with this slogan, where the scriptures speak, we speak. Where the scriptures are silent, we are silent. There are a lot of people who don't understand that. Well, what's so important about the scriptures? The very first lesson in our correspondence course, general correspondence course, has to do with the Word of God. Now, there are people who look at the Bible and they say, oh yes, that's the Word of God. No, we don't believe that. That's the very next thing out of their mouths when you point out something, such as infant baptism. If you were baptized as an infant, if you were baptized to get into a local church, you weren't baptized for the remission of sins based upon your belief that Jesus is the Christ. You say, well, I didn't know enough to believe at the time. Well, then you weren't baptized according to the scriptures. And if you're not going to pay attention to the scriptures, you know, you need to quit saying that you believe this book. It's a lie. If you're going to say that this is the Word of God, I believe that the Bible is the inerrant, infallible Word of God. If you're going to say that, you need to pay attention to what it says. Because if you don't, you're going to be lost. So like Bartonstone, Campbell called on all men to unite on the New Testament as their guide and the Church of the New Testament as the only one authorized by God's Word. They didn't want to start a church. You know, people call on the radio program and said, well, you folks, you Campbellites there. Hold on. We're not Campbellites. We don't practice a single doctrine that is founded by Alexander Campbell. We go by the New Testament. And that alone, it is our guide. They didn't want them to go out, as people did for Luther, and say, we're going to start a Lutheran church. No. the point of the name that we wear, Christian, and the point of the church is not that it's Church of Christ, a big denomination, but rather it is the church that belongs to Jesus Christ. It's His church. We do things His way because He said so. And if you're sitting out there and you're saying, well, wait a minute. You disagree with so many things I've been taught. I just don't understand how you can do that. It's easy. You read the book. I had a professor in advanced calculus, and I wasn't doing so well in that class. And I went to him and I said, I've got a problem. And he asked me a few questions and he said, I see your problem. And I said, you see my problem? He said, yes, you haven't been reading the book. That was true. I thought I could just sit in class and sleep and it would all come true. It wasn't that way. I needed to study. Campbell and Stone wanted people to return to the New Testament. Why? In Luke chapter 6 at verse 46, Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Can you imagine people who said, oh, I love the Lord. I love Jesus. He's my Savior. No, I don't have time to read that book. What do you mean? It's the Word of God. You know, I don't know of any group that calls themselves Christian of any kind that doesn't believe that this book is the Word of God. Some of them have figured out that it's split up into the Old and the New Covenant and that they need to be reading the New Covenant and doing what God told the Gentiles and the Jews to do rather than what He told the Jews to do. We have a lot of Seventh-day Adventists who listen to our radio program. And they call up often. They want to worship on the Sabbath. God told the Jews in Deuteronomy 5 to remember the Sabbath, to keep it holy. Never in the New Covenant do we find that we are to keep the Sabbath. What we find is that we are to come together on the first day of the week to observe the Lord's death until He comes. Now, you think about that. Why do all those denominations out there who don't do this every Sunday come together on the first day of the week? Well, Granddaddy did. Or Grandma, or I like it. You know, they got a nice building or something. They're not reading the Bible. Upon what should the Lord's church be founded? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11 tells us easily. No man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. You can say, well, let's look at the doctrines that the early church followed. If you're talking about the doctrines that are revealed in the New Testament, you're fine. If you get beyond that, what you have done is you have ceased to follow God and you have started to follow man. We can't build a church on the teachings of Campbell or Stone. We must go to the Word of God. And when someone comes up and says, why do you do this? Yesterday, the person called up the radio and said, you know, 45 years ago, they used to teach this down at Glen Burnie. Or said many years ago, I'm the one who said 45 years. I sat there and I said, you know, I've been there for about 45 years now. This will be my 45th year here. And I said, they never taught that while I was there. He said, well, the church believed it. I said, well, they might have had some screwball preacher that said that before then, but not that I know of, and the church never believed it. We're going to look at the Word of God. That's what you brethren are known for. And when somebody comes up and says you're a Campbell, I say, wait just a minute. No, I don't follow his doctrines. I look at the Scriptures. The willingness to depart from God's Word is seen in men who form themselves into denominations. I don't care what they call it. If it's not the church that the Lord established and said He would in Matthew chapter 16, it's not His church. It's His church plus somebody else's. And He says, he that is not with me is against me. So you've either got to do one thing or the other. You either got to follow Him or you're following the other. Now, I understand there are a lot of people who want to follow the other. Most of the people in the world do not want to look at the Word of God and say, well, this is what it says. No, no. No, no. My preacher, my pastor, my bishop, my priest told me. Did they show you in the Word of God? And when you said, well, what about this scripture? Did they say, this is the answer from the Word of God? If they didn't, well, Larry and I, as a lady asked a question about what should she do, we said, he was starting to answer, and I chuckled over there and said, leave. And he got to the end of his answer, and he said, so Gary's advice is right, leave. What happens when you affiliate yourself with some church that doesn't follow Jesus Christ? You're lost. You're not headed the right way. You may think you are, but if it's not based on the scriptures, where is the book, chapter, and verse? I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to somebody's church and find out it was the wrong one, and even though I enjoyed it, I miss all eternity with God. You know, why did Campbell leave the Baptists after 17 years of ministry among them? And to point out that Campbell's stark biblical literalism led to disagreements over many aspects of church life and ministerial order. Campbell opposed, for instance, the use of instrumental music in worship and refused to call ministers by officious sounding titles such as Reverend or Doctor. Do you know there are churches of Christ in this town where they've got a doctor? Now, when you start thinking about that, who conferred that degree? Some man's institution. What business does that have with the church of our Lord? Zippity-doo-dah. None. When you start thinking about those titles, you start thinking about somebody saying, but Reverend, you know, there's nothing the news media likes better than to point out what some reverend said about the political problems that are going on and how he's just as wrong as he could be. And then when they get caught in these marital affairs that these guys get caught in, and you know how the media loves to pronounce, they like to say reverend, especially loudly as they talk about it. They're making fun of all those people, and those people don't have enough sense to look to the scriptures to say, well, I'm not going to call any man reverend. That is God that we're talking about. His name is to be revered. And when you start looking about instrumental music, you sit there and say, you know, we've got this one fellow on the radio program who has called us for years. He hasn't been on lately. I don't know why. Maybe he's sick. But for years, he'll call and say, why can't you use instrumental music? And at the same time, he'll say, and why can't women preach? And we said, women can preach. They just can't preach in the assembly. They can go and teach their neighbor. But they can't preach in the assembly. Why? Because it's God's church. It's not ours. We don't make the rules. If you want to start a church where you have instrumental music and where women are going to preach, you just go right ahead. But please don't call it the Church of Christ, because that's a lie. It's not. It's not the church that belongs to Jesus Christ, because it's not following His will. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to your heart, in your heart to the Lord. Have you listened to some modern music? You kids, you just have to excuse me, I'm old. And you listen to that music, and it's Johnny one note or Johnny one phrase. How many songs, popular songs, do you know that are one phrase? And it may be three words. It may be less than that. And the kids will just sing that, and it makes them so. It doesn't teach anybody anything. Our music is to teach. We are to speak to one another in psalms and hymns. By the way, that's Colossians 3:16 if you want to get the teach in there precisely. And then they talk about these titles. Reverend, doctor. Matthew chapter 23, Jesus was getting on to the Pharisees for doing this. Do you realize that
Alexander and Thomas Campbell had to step down from being the Reverend Campbell to being just old Alexander and Thomas. And they did it gladly. Why? Be not you called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and you are all brethren. Brothers. The other day, and that too can be used as a title. Oh, this is brother. I'm brother. Well, excuse me. Does that mean that you're one step higher than I am? The answer, no, not in the Lord's sight. No, call no man your father upon the earth. You know, what's he talking about here? People say, well, you mean I can't call my dad, dad? Anybody who reads that realizes he's talking about spiritually here. Who is your spiritual leader? What did Jesus tell the Jews? What part of this do people not understand? I'm going to go and I'm going to call that man father? You've got to be joking. Have you ever read this verse? It's right there. What happens when you disobey God? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? Look at it right there. Call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. What's hard to understand about that? Campbell, just like us, had to decide whether he and we would speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent or not. It's a decision that every one of us has to make. Are we going to do what God says? Or are we going to do what we want to do? Is that little phrase, that little motto he made up, biblical in its foundation? You know, the idea of baptismal regeneration, that's what they'll talk about it, that's what they'll call it. If you haven't ever heard it, well, it just means that when you're baptized, you're regenerated into the new man. And they say, that doesn't happen. It happens when you believe. Look at this verse. Corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Now, is that true or is it not? It's just that easy. You're sitting there looking at it. I made it easy. I didn't quote it for you. I just put it up there so you can read it. And you know what it says. It says, baptism now saves you. Does it or doesn't it? You know the answer. It's right there. The question is, did you believe it in order to be saved? Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, Ananias comes to Saul and he says, what are you waiting for? I often wonder what, when he's looking at him, what, how does he say that? What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? You know, you look at that and it says, get up. Be baptized and wash away your sins. There are a lot of people who sit there and say, well, it doesn't really mean that. You know, I can read and I understand the English language fairly well. And as I look at that, that's just hard to misunderstand. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, what if I didn't repent? What if I was an infant and I was baptized? Read it. What do you think it says? It says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And that child's laying there and said, well, what sin did I have? None. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20. I didn't put it up there, but I quoted it for you. Go look it up. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20, the soul that sins, it shall die. The sins of the Son shall not be on the Father, nor of the Father upon the Son. But the righteousness of the righteous will be upon him, and the wickedness of the wickedness will be upon him. There is no such thing as original sin. And if you are baptized to remove it, you are baptized on a foolish misunderstanding of the Word of God. It's time to set it straight. Repent. Turn from your sin. A mental change of mind. You know, as I look at these little kids, we're just so fortunate. We just got them all over around here. They're so innocent. They're so sweet. And
I've had people, one of the ladies that worked at a radio station years ago said, well, look at those little children. Said, they're evil. They're just little devils. Look at them running around. They're always doing meanness. I said, only because you taught them to. And she said, what? I said, they didn't start that way. They start with no sin. That's what God's word says. There is no such thing as inherited sin. So an infant being baptized is foolishness. It's man's foolishness. It doesn't come from the word of God. You need to repent of your sins and be baptized. And if you didn't do it in that order, you say, well, I was baptized, but then when I got older, I started to repent of my sins. Doesn't count. You can't put the cart before the horse. It's just impossible. Don't you want the forgiveness of your sins? Why, if you want the forgiveness of your sins, won't you do what the only man who can give those to you said to do? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? I don't know how anyone can deny that baptism saves you. It washes your sins away, and it's for the forgiveness of sins. I like that passage that guy wrote about Alexander and Thomas Campbell. Said, you know, they just couldn't stay with the Baptists. Why? Because the stark literalism. They believed that the Bible was the word of God, and they said, we're going to do that. The stark literalism, that is, that they read it and they said, that's what it says. If that's what it says, that's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to make up something that says I'll get by. You can't reject baptism and appeal to God for a good conscience. You know, as I was writing this slide, the most serious problem in any departure from God's words, I put in there, combines the lack of knowledge. That's not always true. There's some people who know. Some who are sitting in this audience. You know. You've read it with me. You've read it from the Word of God. And you may think I'm trying to trick you, but I put it up there so that you could see it and say, okay, that's what it says. So we can assume that there might be somebody out there who don't have this knowledge. But let's consider, most assuredly, the lack of humility in caring for self. But I was taught this. I believe this. I don't care what the Word of God says. I'm not doing what God says. That is a lack of humility. That is a determination to do things your way and no other. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Paul wrote to the young evangelist and he said, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. We've had the word of truth up there. I think finding the time to study God's word is probably the most pressing problem that we have today. The only time that I study since I reached college age is when I needed the answer to a question. You know, there are some people who say, well, I just like to study things for the fun of it. I like to study things because there's a reason to do so. And I will assure you that even though I took all those hard courses in college, the reason I took all those hard courses is I thought I could get a good job that way. And the only reason I studied is because if I didn't, I didn't pass. And so it was real easy for me. You know, as a real, if you'll do this, well, you can go ahead and you can perhaps get that good job. When I looked at the scriptures, I said, I want to go to heaven. So what am I going to do? I'm going to have to study the word of God so that I'll know what God has to say. So the question this morning is, what holds you back? Is it the lack of perceived application of God's word in your life? Well, I just don't think it's going to work out well that way. I'd like to do these other things first and try it and see. That is a lack of humility. An unwillingness to, well, you know, if I change, all my friends are going to laugh at me. They're going to wonder what happened, that's for sure. But let me ask you, if you need rest from the burden of sin, why not do what Jesus says and stop right there? Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, Jesus says, come to me all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you're here this morning and there's any way in which we can help you, render obedience to the gospel. Won't you let us know while together we stand and we sing it?